Welcome to SMR's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week's most popular post on sportsmedres.org discussed a recent study which evaluated if isolation or integration core exercises generated greater core muscle activation. It is widely accepted that a strong core will benefit the individual in sports performance, rehabilitation, and general fitness. However, knowing what type of exercise to select to aid performance and prevent injuries is absolutely paramount. While most studies have focused on isolation-type exercises, no studies have determined if muscle isolation exercises elicit greater muscle activation compared with abdominal lumbar co-contraction coupled with shoulder and hip activation or integration exercises. The authors of this study hypothesized that isolation-type exercises would elicit greater abdominal lumbar muscle activation compared with integration-style exercises. For this study, they compared 20 healthy college-age students, and the participants had surface EMG electrodes placed on six core muscles, the rectus abdominis, external oblique, lumbar erector spinae, thoracic erector spinae, anterior deltoid, and gluteus maximus. The participants then performed four isolation and three integration exercises. The authors found that integration-style exercises had greater rectus and lumbar extensor muscle activation compared with isolation exercises. Most notably, when comparing the isolation abdominal crunch with prone hover with lateral reach, there was a 27% increase in rectus abdominis and external oblique activity for the hover exercise. Furthermore, there was a twofold increase in lumbar erector spinae activity during integration-style exercises. Integrated thoracic extension, or bird dog, also elicited a 38% increase in lumbar and thoracic erector spinae activity when compared with the prone forward arm elevation isolation exercise. The same integration exercise elicited a threefold increase in external oblique activity as a result of the contralateral arm leg raising. While the findings of this study are interesting and enlightening, it's not surprising that integration-style exercises were superior at eliciting greater muscle activity. These exercises are designed to activate the core functionally and create overall stability as opposed to isolation exercises that elicit a concentric contraction. For example, the resisted pointer, or bird dog, and prone hover exercises elicit activation in the sagittal plane, but there is also an anti-rotational and stability component. This requires co-contraction of the entire core, which creates greater muscle activation. The integration-style exercises attempt to build isometric stability while performing functional activities. The study suggests that by performing integration-style exercises, athletes can optimize muscle activity, thereby improving performance and preventing injuries. This past week, we also had two other posts on sportsmedres.org, that's res.org. This first post reported that despite understanding the long-term dangers of sustaining a concussion, high school athletes showed little evidence that they would remove themselves from athletic participation. And the second post noted that video analysis of high school boys lacrosse indicated that most concussions were related to the intentional use of helmets in impacts, and that the injured player is often not expecting a hit. Results from this type of research have already had a direct implication on rule changes in lacrosse. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a study which concluded that heat shock proteins, which are important to the adaptive response in muscles subjected to stress, is increased after eccentric exercises, and this increase was not influenced by NSAIDs. We also reported a second study that found that ultrasound-guided corticosteroid injection or wearing a full-length silicone insole were effective treatments for plantar fasciitis, and that patients receiving an injection had better sport and recreation function scores, but the authors recommended that the use of silicone insoles as a first line of treatment for persons with plantar fasciitis. So remember to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.